of applause. They've done such a good job. And let's just all pray for them this morning. Father God, we thank you that you are such a good God and that you're doing things in young lives everywhere. We thank you so much for every single young person this morning that has followed Jesus into the waters of baptism and said yes to following Jesus with all they have. Father, we thank you for Lachlan, for Paroma, for Ashley, for Grace, for Abby Rose, for Amalekai, and for Harmony. God, we thank you that they have so powerfully displayed their love and their dedication to Jesus this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would go with them wherever they may go, whatever life may bring them. We pray that you would be with them, you would go before them, they would trust and they would follow you with their whole hearts. Thank you so much for this morning, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids staying in or they're heading out? For certificates. Okay, they're going to be at the end because everyone's still. So they want to go out or... Wonderful. So if you guys want to head out, I think you're going to go back to White Hill Kids. That would be great. Thanks so much for coming in and being part of everything we did here. Well, after those baptisms, I don't think I need to speak at all. How good was that? That was so good. And it has been a big morning already, so I promise I'll be really quick. It will be a really short message, but I feel like I have something I would really like to share with you guys this morning. If you haven't met me before, my name is Ben. I'm the Youth and Young Adults Pastor here at Whitehill, and it's a privilege for me to be here to share with you this morning. I'm feeling super fresh because I've just come back from 4 weeks of leave, so I'm feeling really, really good, but it is really good to be back. And it's a bit of a shame that I was away for these 4 weeks because you happened to have the Festival of Good News right when I was away, and I missed out on all of it, but I heard it was really, really good. 8 people deciding to follow Jesus, 27 people making recommitments, and 11, or maybe it's 12 now, have signed up for Alpha. That is so good. And I was so excited to hear about all of that. But the 3 weeks are over. The Festival of Good News is over. We've still got the decorations up, but they'll probably come down soon as well. We've just had 7 people get baptized. But now what? What do we do now? I mean, do we celebrate? Do we have cake? Is there photo? What do we do? What do we do now? Is this the end? Is this the end of it? What do we do? I think some of them said it so clearly this morning. What if being baptized wasn't the end goal, but was just another step on the journey or just part of their walk with Jesus? What if getting baptized and making a decision to follow Jesus wasn't the goal, but was the starting line to their new life with Christ? Now, making a decision to follow Jesus is a really, really important step, absolutely, but it's not the goal. Now, what am I saying? Well, in a similar way, getting married is actually not all about the wedding day. Getting married is not all about the wedding day. Now, one of the reasons that I took some time off recently is that one of my sisters, Miranda, got married, and I think we might have a photo there. So this is my sister's, the one getting married, obviously, and my other sister is on the end here, and I'm there as well. So it was really special. We both got to be part of the bridal party, and Lockie's siblings were in the bridal party too. It was really awesome and really special for all of us. But Miranda and Lockie had been planning this wedding for months. They planned what it would look like, where it would be, what food we would eat. They even had to decide the variety of plants that had to be on the table. So many decisions to make. Everything had to be thought about and then communicated to a big team of people. And this wedding actually took 2 full days to set up. 2 days. That's why I had to take holidays. 2 full days. Can you imagine that? There's a team of about 15 people helping. So you're thinking, what? Was this some sort of crazy, extravagant wedding? Not really, but they wanted to do everything themselves to save money. So we had a heap of volunteers, and it was a really, really good day. They had such a great time. And now they've got some lovely photos, they had a big dinner, they've got some nice rings, and they've got a beautiful piece of paper with their signatures both on it. Isn't that good? How good is that? But that's not the point. That's not why they did all that. That's not why they put all that preparation and work into it. That wasn't the goal. That was just a celebration of the fact that they were making a decision, the commitment before their family, friends, and before God to love each other for life. That's actually the point. Now, the new relationship is not about the wedding, but about marriage. The big day is really important, absolutely, very important, but it starts something even more important, a life of love, companionship, and adventure together. And deciding to follow Jesus and get baptized is like that. It's a really, really important decision. It's an important step, and there will be celebration and photos and excitement. I think we've got some food a little bit later too, but it's not the goal. It's a step along the journey. It's even maybe a starting line to our new life with Christ. Just like the wedding is important, the goal is married life. So conversion and baptism are important, but the goal is life with Christ. So what does this life look like? Now what? That's kind of what I want to answer this morning. Well, I think the overall story of Scripture is about bringing heaven and earth together. Bringing heaven and earth together. That's what God is doing in us and in the world, bring heaven and earth together. Or, as you maybe more often see it in Scripture, bringing God's kingdom, seeing God's kingdom come. It's all about living the sort of life that Jesus lived, life that so clearly brings about God's kingdom in individual lives and in communities to then change the world. And when we look at Jesus, we don't see a man who is concerned with building a name for himself. We don't even see someone who is concerned with getting a following at all. Jesus was concerned with seeing God's kingdom come here on earth, where heaven and earth are reconciled, just like they were created to be, where it is on earth as it is in heaven, where it is on earth as it is in heaven, God's kingdom. So what does God's kingdom look like then? What is it to live, to dwell in, to be part of God's kingdom? I think two things that summarize it really well is to love God and to love like God. To love God and to love like God. Or thinking about kingdom, and the Bible uses so many analogies of kingdom and things like that, you might want to remember it as love the king and love like the king. Love the king and love like the king. These two things, really quick. Love God. Why? Because this is what you were made for. You were made to love God. When people asked Jesus what the most important command was, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Matthew 22:37. Not to just love the idea of God, not just to know things about God, but to actually know him and to love him. It's just like any other relationship here on earth. You can know things about someone, but actually knowing and loving them is something totally different. And when we come to know God, we will love him. Our God is an amazing God of grace and love. He showed this to us through the cross, through sending Jesus. This loving and knowing God is what eternal life is all about. John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ who you have sent." So love God, love the King, and love like God. If we truly love God, we will love others too. Why? Because God's love will spill out of us. We can't help it, but God's love will spill out of us. And when Jesus was asked what the most important command was, he quickly followed it up with, and this is the second. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we love God, one of the primary things that we will do is we will love other people, just as we've been loved ourselves by God. Now, this is all people, not just some people, not just the people that we like, but all people, by loving all people like God has loved us, by treating them, by loving them as Jesus has treated and loved us, with love and with grace, and sharing the truth with them as well, and sharing the truth, the good news, the gospel. We hope to see them come to know Jesus as well and put their trust in him. Now, that kind of sounds easy on first appearance, to love God and to love like God. But I don't know about you, loving people can be pretty hard. It can be pretty hard. It's kind of easy when it's the people that we like. What about those people that we don't like? Maybe there's people that annoy us. Maybe there's people that, maybe it's people in your family that you don't get to choose to do life with. They're just in your family, so you have to love them. What are those people you work with? There's all sorts of people that we do life with that we might not like. That's okay. And I say this to my youth leaders all the time. You don't have to like everyone. You just have to love everyone. You just have to love everyone. That's what Jesus has asked us to do. And this can be really hard, especially when people have hurt us. If people have hurt us, that can be so, so hard to love them. But that is what Jesus has asked us to do. In fact, Jesus prayed for and asked God for forgiveness from the very people that were crucifying him. In Luke 23:34, he says that. And Jesus asks us to do the same. So how can we possibly do this? How can we do this? Please don't hear this morning, I'm telling you to just go out and just try harder. You can't do it. You can't just try harder and just do it out of your own strength. It will not work. And you know that. If you just try and love people, it's not going to work. You can't do that out of your own strength. So how can we do it? It's by being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is only possible when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are living life in the Spirit, because we cannot do it on our own. We cannot love people, all people, on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. This is why Jesus left. He said that I'm leaving so that the Holy Spirit could come and be with us. John 16:7. Today you would have heard everyone was baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is in reference to Matthew 28:19-20. So often I think we can forget about the Holy Spirit. We forget the Holy Spirit. We hear about God the Father heaps. We know lots and lots about Jesus the Son. But Holy Spirit, sometimes I think we really neglect Holy Spirit. We really forget. Sometimes it might be because we're a bit confused. We don't know exactly what he does. It's kind of a bit weird. It's not easy to kind of understand. But I think we need to step into all that the Holy Spirit is. We need to listen to his voice. We cannot neglect the Holy Spirit. It's the power for us to do all that Jesus has asked us to do. I read from Romans 6 before, explaining a little bit about baptism being united with Christ. But Romans 8, just a little bit later in this letter that Paul wrote, so beautifully gives us a glimpse of what life with this new life with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit looks like. It's titled Life in the Spirit. I can't read it all, but I want to give a quick summary. It's those that have trusted in Jesus don't live by the flesh anymore, but they now live by the Spirit. We have been set free to live life in the Spirit. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons or children of God. Life in the kingdom, life as followers of Jesus, life with Jesus is a life being immersed in, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what this life here on earth looks like. And just like today, as everyone was baptized in the water, they became saturated with water. And as they walked up behind the pool and behind the sage, they would have left footprints everywhere. There would have been footprints everywhere. You would have been able to see exactly where they walked. And so too, when we are fully immersed in the Holy Spirit, when we are living life in the Holy Spirit, when we walk around, when we are saturated with the Holy Spirit, we will leave footprints of the Spirit behind us. People will be able to see what the Spirit is doing. There will be pockets of the kingdom of God all around us, heaven and earth being reconciled back together again through the power of the Holy Spirit. So now what? Now what for these seven people? Now what for us? Now what for you? The lifelong journey of bringing God's kingdom to earth, in our hearts and lives first, then to the world around us, in the here and now, not tomorrow, not next week, today, in the here and now. God is active and working in the here and now today. He is with us right here. When we are fully immersed in life with the Holy Spirit, God is doing an awesome work in us and through us. We were able to love God, we're able to love people, and we're able to make disciples, all through the leading, all through the power of the Holy Spirit. We trust in Jesus. He abides in us through his Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:13 says this, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit." So don't forget the Holy Spirit, but live life by the Spirit. This is a lifelong journey of listening, of leaning in to what the Holy Spirit is doing in you and in the world, reconciling heaven and earth back together again. Let's pray. Father God, you are such a good God, and we thank you that you sent Jesus, to live the life that we could not live on our own. He lived the perfect life. He's completely blameless. And then he gave himself up for us on the cross, and we thank you so much for that. We thank you that you did what we could not do. And we thank you that when Jesus left, that you sent your Holy Spirit to be with us, to dwell in us, to work through us. We thank you for all that you are doing in this world. We thank you for the Festival of Good News. We thank you for the baptisms this morning. We thank you for the baptisms tonight. We thank you that you are touching lives, that you are changing hearts, and you are doing incredible things in this world. So we look to you, Holy Spirit. We ask that your kingdom would come, Father, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, with heaven and earth reconciled back together again. Holy Spirit, come. Lead us, guide us, and fill us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for being part of what we're doing here at White Hill this morning for all the baptisms. What we'd love to do is, if you got baptized this morning, if you'd like to come up on stage, we're going to give you a certificate and a Bible, and we can pray for you. Julie's going to give me a hand with that. You can stand in the line, that would be really good, and we'll give the Bibles out to you. So for Lachlan, there you go, there's a Bible and a certificate for you. For Roma, there you go. Ashley, Grace.